A beautiful way to start off the Good Friday service. Thanks for making your way out tonight. And we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. If you have a Bible or a Bible app. And we will be, just in case I somehow forget at the end, we'll be concluding the service with the seven statements of the cross and a closing song by Alma once again. So Matthew chapter 27, not the whole chapter, we'll begin with verse 11, but this evening, as we gather to remember the suffering of Christ, the passion, the work of the cross, the price that has been paid for our sin, our missing of the mark, God's standard of holiness and perfection. But without a crucifixion, there is no resurrection. Without Friday, there's no Sunday. And Jesus had to suffer and die as the Lamb of God, conquering death and the grave. Of course, 3 days later, he would rise. And in doing so, fulfilling prophecy, proving indeed he is the Son of the living God and the Savior of the world. We remember the cross this evening. We remember the cost, the price paid for our sin. Father, as we look into the gospel account of St. Matthew, we ask that you would speak to us, God, and make this real. Fridays come and Fridays go, but this Friday, we remember the suffering. We remember the cross. We remember the sin debt that has been paid. And we rejoice in that, and we look forward to Sunday and celebration of the resurrection. We ask for your blessing, Holy Spirit, to lead and guide the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. And together, God's family said amen. Verse 11 of St. Matthew chapter 27. This is where Jesus is being interrogated by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. It says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing." He did not answer. Standing before Pilate, as I mentioned, and the text shows us, he's the governor of Rome. Shortly after the encounter with Pilate, he had a crown of thorns put on his head, purple robe. He would be mocked, punched, spit on, beaten. And this was the beginning of the suffering that he would endure for the sins of men, for the sin of the world, and the cup of the wrath of God that he would drink. Why did Jesus respond in silence? Because that is where the strength was. The Word of God says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly." The Proverbs tell us that. Jesus knew that his time had come. He understood the cost. So therefore, his response was one of silence. This also fulfilled Scripture in Isaiah chapter 53 that was written over 500 years prior, that says this: "He," that's Jesus, the suffering servant, "he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Verse 13, Pilate says, "Then said Pilate unto him, Jew, hear thou us not how many things they witness against you? And he answered him to never a word, and so much that the governor marveled greatly." The governor was amazed that Jesus would not respond. But Jesus understood the time. He understood what needed to be done to fulfill the will of the Father. And so therefore, He was acting completely as the Lamb of God. It says in verse 15, now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. So this was tradition that Passover time in this time of the year that some criminal would be released. Clemency, we would call that, or pardon in modern days. And they had then a notable prisoner, you've all heard of him, called Barabbas, which actually means son of the father. Verse 17, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, that's the people, whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew, Pilate knew, that for envy, some translations say jealousy or self-interest, that they had delivered him. Pilate knew. He knew the reason that Jesus, an innocent man, was put before him on trial, so to speak. He knew it was because of envy. He knew it wasn't pure motives. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Few notes here. Number one, what can we learn from this? Well, if you're married, listen to your wife. Number one, listen to your wife. Certainly, if she's a woman of God, if she's a godly wife, listen to your wife, very practically speaking. Number two, recognize. Recognize when God is speaking to you. And then thirdly, recognize how He is speaking to you. And so the warning has been given through a dream to Pilate's wife, but he's going to cave. Verse 20, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The pressure of the people. Let me encourage you tonight, don't cave to the pressure of the people. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent. He knew that Jesus should not be charged and crucified, yet he caved. Take a stand for Jesus when needed. Despise the shame. Take the ridicule, the insults, the alienation. Walk in the footsteps of your master, of the Lamb of God. The Word of God says this, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Envy is a terrible thing. Jealousies, self-interest, the motive of the people for wanting to crucify Jesus. Knowing that Barabbas was a convicted felon, we would say. Multiple times he has been in this position. Take a stand. You know, recently in the news, there was a professional basketball player. I believe his name is Jaden Ivey. And he spoke up and he spoke out against the perversion of the National Basketball Association having Pride Month. And it cost him his career. And I think he's okay with it. You and I may be in similar positions at this point in time. You've probably heard also about the bill that is getting closer to being passed in Canada, our neighbors to the north, combating Hate Act, Bill C-9. It's in the Senate right now of Canada. And what does that consist of? Anything in the scriptures that speaks against perversion, like the LGBTQ movement. Make no mistake about it. The LGBTQ movement, listen carefully, let me finish my statement before you get upset. It is radically perverted. It is from the pit of hell. But we are to love and embrace those that are deceived by it, at the same time taking a stand and never crying for Barabbas. You take a stand for Jesus. You can speak the truth in love to people that are living in darkness. God made man in his image. He made male and he made female. We only need common sense. But that's what happened when we start to numb our conscience, when we start to sear our conscience, when you stand before somebody who is a prominent figure, even a doctor, and you ask them a question like this. Can a man give birth?
And the professional cannot answer the question. How does that happen? Because the people are crying for Barabbas. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Make no mistake about that. The heart of man is deceitful above all things. It's not to be trusted. Part of the reason churches aren't perhaps all full this evening is because too much trust has been put on a man or men in general. That will let you down every time. Jesus has never let me down. Man, many times. Even family, your closest friends, they let you down. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to remember who is the Lamb of God, who's the one that could be fully trusted, that all his promises are yes and amen. We can't cave to the pressure of the people as things heat up. That's only 50, 60, 70 miles to the north of us. Hard to imagine that perhaps this bill passes, and if you were to go there and speak, you could literally be arrested. But these are the times that we now live in. And God bless that man, Jaden Ivey, the professional basketball player, who did speak against what is wrong, what is unrighteous in the eyes of God. God will honor that. He will honor that decision. They persuaded the crowd. Verses 21 to 23. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will you that I release? Which of the two will you release? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. No palm branches. No more palm branches, just days earlier. Same people. Symbols of victory. No hosanna. No coats. No more shouting for joy. Hail the King of Israel. What happened? Man happened. That's what happened. Darkness happened. The will of the Father had to be fulfilled. The heart of man is now being revealed. The will of the Father coming to pass. But keep this in mind. God's will, his sovereign will, does not remove our responsibility. Pilate is guilty. He knew the truth, and he chose to ignore it. And I have a feeling, maybe not here tonight, maybe so, but maybe, God willing, on Sunday, there'll be some people in the same position as Pilate. We might have some Pontius Pilates here on Sunday. They know the truth, but they refuse because they're persuaded by the people. They're persuaded by the crowds. Even though they know in the depths of their heart that Jesus is calling them and that he is indeed the truth, they refuse to believe because it might cost them something. And when Pilate saw, verse 24, that he could not prevail, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. He's not innocent. He knows the truth. He's not innocent. His wife had a dream warning him, Pilate, don't touch this man. He's just. He ignored it. The crowds of people saying, crucify, even though he knew Barabbas was the one that was worthy of that. What a picture that is of today and the battle that goes on daily in the world and in our lives. Remember, I told you, you ought not to be surprised. And sometimes, myself too, you can get around people, maybe around somebody who swears, as they used to say, as a trucker. I mean, they just have a filthy, filthy mouth, and you're surprised by it. My question would be, why? They're Barabbas. They know not the truth. They're in darkness, and so that's why we take a stand for the truth. We tell people in love the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, choose this day who you will serve. That's our responsibility to do that. The Word of God says in Romans 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. That's our responsibility. The Word of God says in the end, and we'll look at it on Sunday, go into all the world, that's you and I, and do what? Preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's our responsibility. We have a responsibility to walk worthy of our calling, to make disciples, to preach the gospel, to be salt and light, to be holy as He is holy. Pilate said, I am innocent of this man's blood. We know he's not. Pilate's guilty. The Jews are guilty. The Romans are guilty. You and I are guilty. And unless the blood is applied, we remain dead in trespasses and sins. Listen to what Pilate says in verse 25, or the people, I should say. Then answered all the people and said, his blood, that's the blood of Jesus, be on us and our children. Now, not in a way in which it would be applied to forgiveness of sin, but in a way where they would be guilty. They're saying, we'll take responsibility for this choice. His blood be on us and our children. How prophetic to this day. This conscious choice had and still does reap eternal damnation. People reap what they sow, and disobedience brings sorrow. And people still suffer today because of this choice. Verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. They released a son of Satan rather than the son of God. A criminal that was well known, and the Lamb would continue the suffering. Something to think about on this Good Friday as we reflect that people are either in the stead of Barabbas or in the stead of Jesus Christ. People apart from God, the Apostle Paul would write, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, that those that know not Christ, that are separated from God, are called the children of disobedience. They're called the children of wrath. That's not a loving thought. It's a biblical thought, though. We have to understand what we're dealing with and who we're dealing with. And as we gather, maybe this evening, or maybe tomorrow, or maybe on Easter, we need to be aware of our surroundings. If you're going out to eat, you need to be aware of your surroundings. In your homes, maybe with family and friends that you don't normally get together with, be aware of your surroundings. And God desires that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. These are opportunities. You know, as well as I do, there's times in this country where people will pay their dues and come to church on Easter and on Christmas. Well, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to come into a person's heart and set them free. We are responsible. We do have a responsibility to deliver this message of hope to a lost and dying world. And at the same time, to not play God and force it, so to speak. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide your speech. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide your Easter dinner, your conversation. We're going to end this service this evening by doing something different. I believe, as I was looking back, 6 p.m. historically would be the time in which it says that Jesus actually was crucified. And we are in that hour as we speak. So I think the appropriate way to end the Good Friday service would be to read, just simply read, the seven statements of the cross. And so I've asked seven different lectors or readers to slowly and quietly come up and just read each of the seven statements of the cross. And then if Alma would be so kind, maybe she could come forward at the same time. She will close our Good Friday service with a song. Before we do this, and before I help the first reader, where is she? There you are, Marilyn. Thanks for wearing pink. Helps me. My wife told me I look like a bunny tonight with the pink shirt. It was a different jacket, though. I changed jackets, so pink. I did it for Easter. Anyways, Sunday morning, I hope to see you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:45. We're going to have flowers for you. It's going to be a great day. Do we have children's? We do have children's ministers available that day for newborn to seven. But thank you so much for coming out tonight. Let us remember, again, without a crucifixion, there's no resurrection. This is a day and an evening to remember and to be sober and aware of the cost, but also a preparation of rejoicing in the resurrection.
Jesus said this. I mentioned it in the text, I believe, Sunday. Unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. Victory in the kingdom of God, victory through Jesus Christ comes through death. Death to self. No jealousy, no envy, no self-interest. Those things don't exist in the kingdom of God. Selflessness, so that God would be glorified in and through us individually and collectively as his bride. Amen? Marilyn, I'll help you come up.
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
Today you will be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
I thirst.
It is finished.
Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.